you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from James chapter 4, verse 11. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 28th, 2021, the last Friday in this month. Pretty soon we're going to be saying Happy June, everyone. How about that, Jason? Happy June almost?
I can't even believe it.
Yeah. Just plowing through this year. Wow. But in hindsight, hey, we want to be done with last year, get through this COVID thing and move on. But, oh, yeah, we're all living it together and living through it and growing and changing and being refined. And more people are seemingly being more hopeful as churches are coming together, as the fellowships are gathering in person again, as people are being able to have their neighbor over for dinner or breaking bread or being out in a restaurant. And there are some, you know, rural kings and other establishments where you don't need to have a mask on, where others you do. So it's still kind of awkward, but seems like there's some progress being made. And yet then there's more violence and other things happening in the world that is getting everyone's attention. So these are times that we need to be prayed up and seeking the Lord. And what I appreciate about Fridays is we look at his word, we look for points of application, we connect with God. And so before we jump in this book of James, and we'll continue with our study in chapter 4, starting at verse 11, I want to give you a couple quick updates. I told you beforehand, Jason, that Lord willing, on Tuesday, Keith and Kristen Getty, many people know them through their song In Christ Alone and their symposiums or workshops that they do on worship and their gifted songwriting. They have a number of wonderful, I don't want to call them hits, God-honoring tunes and songs that are played over there. But did you know that In Christ Alone has been out for 20 years now? And it's reached,
I can't even believe that,
20 years, and I have a little press release because that's why we're going to interview him on Tuesday, but they estimate that over 100 million people have heard that song. 100 million people over these 20 years. So we're going to talk to Keith Getty, Lord willing, on Tuesday to share a little about that and some new initiatives, some things that they're going to be doing, him and Kristen, in the coming weeks and months. And so that should be kind of fun. So I look forward to that. It seemed like I had another announcement, but I didn't write it down. So that gives you a little more time to talk about the book of James and God's word and maybe pray us into this Friday as people are going about their schedules, looking forward maybe to the weekend. Some are maybe have worked the night shift and they're off for the weekend and they're on their way home. But for the many people that, Jason, as you pray, they could kind of agree with you that their steps would be ordered by the Spirit and that God would use them in different ways today.
Father, we just pray that as we look at your word, as we study your word, as we hear your word, that your word would first do a work in us, and that, Father, your word would then call us to be a part of the ongoing work that you're doing in the world. And, Father, we thank you that you don't send us to do that work alone, but that you've given us your Spirit to guide us and to lead us as we do that. So, Father, let us listen to the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us be attentive to the Spirit as we follow your leading. Through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I thought of the two things that I wanted to bring up. A week from today, the Pastor and Ministry Leader Initiative will be coming together at Lincoln Square in our Great News Media Center, Unit 112. And so I've got some great feedback from a number of pastors and ministry leaders that will be attending. So we're excited about that. And I think the bigger thing I wanted to talk about before we jump into this book, I love how God's been using you with your bike ministry. I don't know what you're calling it, but the unique way how you're taking something that you love to do, biking and getting out and exercising, and how God has transformed that hobby, that interest of yours, to be a vehicle of his love and his care and his provision. And I don't know, I think before we were on the air, you maybe cited six or eight or ten different unique ways how God provided this, which provided that, which then allowed this person to have this, who was praying over this, that then gave you money for that, and then that money was used for this, but don't you know the person said, I don't need it, so then it was used to purchase this, which helped that. So give us just a little snapshot into this unique ministry, because I think there might be some other churches or people that could do an aspect of what you're doing and the impact it's having on those that love the Lord and those that haven't been introduced to Him yet, but are sensing His love through you and through those that are helping with this bike ministry, if you will.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if it's a bike ministry. I don't even know what you call it exactly, but maybe we can put some flesh on it. You know, I love bikes, and I used to race bikes for a long time, ride bikes. I just love them. You know, some people are car people. Some people are this. Some people are that. I love bikes. I think there's nothing more in my mind. A beautiful sound is the clicking of a bike tire, as you know, the derailleur kind of clicks over on the freewheel, and I just love that. And so it was a couple months ago, I said to my wife, well, what happened was I bought a bike over Christmas time, and I got a really great deal. It was a used bike. It was actually kind of funny because it was the same bike. When I was dating my wife, I used to go visit her. She lived in Naperville, and I was living in Crystal Lake at the time up north. And I would go visit her, and every time I would finish visiting her, I would go to this bike shop that was there. They had this great bike shop in Wheaton, Illinois called Spokes. And in the front of that bike shop was this specialized Allez Pro. It was a bike that had won the Tour de France. It's a silver bike with these leopard kind of stripes on it. And every time I saw that bike, I was just like, oh, Lord, I would love. Now, I wasn't a believer then, so I wouldn't say, oh, Lord. But I would say, oh, I would just love to have that bike. Oh, that bike is so beautiful. Oh, it's so amazing. And then I would look at the price tag. I think it was the $4,500 or something like that. And I would say, oh, but there's no way. There's no way that's happening. And so around Christmas time, my mother-in-law always gives me some money for Christmas. She always gives me some money for my birthday. She's not really sure what I want, so she's always like, you just get something you'd like. And so there, she gave me that money, and I happened to be going on Facebook Marketplace, and there it was. The Allez Pro specialized bike that 15, 16 years ago I would go look at when I was going home every time from dating my wife, who now I'm married to, on Facebook Marketplace, and the gentleman wanted $400. So I went down to Mattoon. I bought the bike. It needed a little bit of work, and so I took it to the local bike shop, and I said, hey, can you work on – I need to get – I would love it if you could work on this and we could get this kind of back in shape. And he said, I can, but it's going to be 4 weeks. And I said, 4 weeks? He says, yeah, we sold more bikes last year in 2020 than we ever have, and therefore we're busier than we ever have been. So the wait time to get work done, even very simple work, can be 4 weeks. I said, listen, if I brought a bike in and just needed a tube and a tire, it would be 4 weeks, which is simple. I can change a tube and a tire in about 10 minutes. He said, it would be 4 weeks. You drop it off and we do it when we can, but it would be more time than it normally is. So I was like, wow, that's incredible. And so that led me on a journey of just like every now and then I thought, you know what, maybe I should just like, you know, I can change tubes and tires pretty fast. I've changed hundreds of them over the last however long I've been riding bikes since I was in my 20s. And so one day I said to Tasha, I said, you know what? What would it look like if we just, like, fixed some bikes out of our garage? You know, just did tubes and tires. We don't charge any money for it. You know, we just charge whatever it costs to buy the parts, because that would be my wife's thing. She'd be like, well, this could get expensive quick. So if the people pay for the parts, the only thing that we're volunteering is our time, our service. I always use the word we and our, and my wife reminds me, no, it's you, not me. She just comes out and watches and talks to me while I'm doing it. And so she said, you know, well, let's see what happens. And so I started working on some bikes, and then Ken Welch, our great friend of the station, Ken Welch, sent me a message. He says, hey, I have a work stand so that you don't have to be doing it like you're doing it. You can do it like you're supposed to do it. So he offered that work stand and hasn't asked for it back yet, which has been pretty amazing because I've had it for a couple months now. But I started fixing bikes in the garage, and I started changing tubes and tires, and the next thing you know, I was fixing more things than just tubes and tires. And last Saturday, we had 24 bikes in our garage. Right now, I have 17. And this week, I haven't even advertised and said, hey, you know what, bring your bike on Tuesday night, bring your bike on Saturday morning, I'll fix it up. But I spend half of each of my days off. So I have them off on Tuesday, I'm off on Saturday, And I spend 4 or 5 hours and I fix bikes for people. I change tubes, tires, fix derailleurs. But all of a sudden I had people saying to me, well, what if we just gave you some old bikes? We have some old bikes laying around. Can we just give them to you? And I said, well, okay, let me, you know, let's see what, you know, I don't, because sometimes you get an old bike and you go, okay, this is going to cost a lot of money to get this back and it going in shape, you know. And now I don't have like somebody saying, hey, the parts are going to be this, and somebody pays me for the parts because, you know, they want the bike fixed so they can ride it. But then at the same time that people started donating bikes, people were coming to get their bikes fixed, and then they would say, so what do I owe you? And I would say, oh, it's, you know, it was two tubes, it was $10. And they'd say, $10 for what you did to my bike?
Yeah, because you would also clean it up and kind of try to make it look like almost brand new if you could.
Yeah, so my deal is when you bring a bike to me, I scrub it, I detail it, I lube it. I want to give a bike back to somebody better than they gave it to me, and I want to get it back so that it is in great working shape. What I really want is when somebody picks up that bike, they look at it and go, wow, this is what it could look like. And then they begin to take some steps to take even better care of their bike, because I'm passionate about bikes. I love it. And so as people started donating bikes, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, how is this going to work? Because it wasn't like somebody donated one bike. It was like when the donations started coming, it was like a lot of bikes were coming in. And so I was like, well, how are we going to pay for buying parts for all these bikes? And I was just like, Lord, if you provide for these bikes, I just want to give them away for free. I don't want to charge for them. I don't want to do it. And I had a bunch of people saying, hey, you could fix up this bike and sell it for $50. You could fix up this bike and sell it for $25. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm not in the bike business. I'm not in the business. I'm not in any business. My business plan stinks. My business plan is free. I just want to serve people. 1 Peter 4:10 says that the gifts you've been given by God are used to serve God's people. And so I don't even want to charge any money. But as the donations for the bikes come in, all of a sudden people are like coming to get their bike and they're like, you did all this for my bike. I want to give you $40. I want to give you $20. I want to, you know, the people just started donating money, which I stuck in an envelope and began to buy parts to rehab these bikes and then began to give them away. And so I would post on Facebook and say, hey, we got to give away 9 bikes today. And people were like, what? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then people would come by and they'd be like, hey, I want to donate some money towards giving away more bikes to people. Currently, I believe, I have a rough count. I have it in the garage. I got some little, I have a real good accounting system. I do those little scratch lines,
yeah.
You know, 4 lines and a line through it. I think I fixed in 2 months 70 bikes and given away almost 20 bikes. And along with that has just been amazing stories about how God provides. And so one of them I shared with you off the air that I'll share right now is the newest story that just had me blown away the other day. I got a bike in, somebody donated it, and I posted a picture up on Facebook saying, on offer, free bike, you know, whatever, 20-inch Diamondback BMX bike. This guy comes over, and he's like, oh, I thought it was bigger. You know, my son's a little bigger. This bike's not going to fit my son. And then he said, man, I've been everywhere looking for a 24-inch bike for my son, and there just aren't any. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, there's a real bike shortage out there in the stores and all that. He's like, yeah, I went to some of the bike shops, but, I mean, that's like $400 or $500 for a brand-new bike. And I said, yeah. I said, I get it. 24-inch bike is a transition size. The kids are growing in those ages. You're not going to ride that bike for a long time. And so he left. And he was just a great guy. The guy's name was Joe, just a great guy. And I could just tell his heart. And so I just said, Lord, I want to get Joe a bike. I just want to, even if I have to, I'm up till now, all the bikes I've gotten have been donation bikes. But I went on Facebook Marketplace, and I looked through, and I found a decent-looking bike, you know, for $50. And I said, you know what? I've got some donation money that people have given me towards this ministry, I guess you'll call it. And I'm just going to buy a bike because I want Joe and his kid to have a bike so they can ride bikes together. And so I contacted the guy in Facebook Marketplace. He said, yeah, you know, you can come by tomorrow and pick up the bike. I said, great. I said, $50, cool. And so I was in the process of fixing another bike for a gentleman and his daughter. And he was telling me just about how blown away he and his daughter were about, you know, that this kind of grassroots thing happening in my garage, and I'm just fixing bikes for people and just trying to take care of people and get them back on the road. And he said, you know, all the way home, my daughter and I were just talking about that this was really cool. And so I fixed his bike, and literally, I told you, Mark, I mean, the fixing his bike part was like 10, 15 minutes. I adjusted some derailleurs. I got things to where they needed to be. You know, I lubed it up and all that. But then I cleaned the bike like I always do. So that took about an hour. But when he got here, he's just like, man, I'm just, wow, the bike looks great, and I just love what you're doing. And he gave me $60. He didn't have to give me anything because there was no charge. There were no parts needed. And I told him that. I said, there's no charge, no parts needed. He goes, no, I just want to make a donation. So he gives me $60. And I go, Lord, thank you so much, because that'll cover the bike I'm going to buy for Joe. So I'm like, that's awesome. You know, now we're going to, you know, the funds that are donated there to buy parts and do all that, that gets to remain where it is. I get to feel comfortable that we've got the right amount of money to be able to do this. And we're going to buy, be able to get Joe that bike. And so then I go over yesterday morning to this guy's house in Urbana to pick up this bike, and we go in the garage, and, you know, I'm looking, and I go, oh, the bike looks great. I'll take it. It looks awesome. 24-inch bike. It's a Diamondback. It's exactly what Joe wanted for his son. It literally is exactly what Joe wants for his son. Mm-hmm. It's like the bigger version of the bike that was too small the day before. And so I was just kind of like, wow, this is really amazing. And then so I take the money out of my pocket, and I go to hand it to this gentleman. And this guy, Scott, he goes, no. He goes, no charge. I looked at your Facebook page. I saw what you're doing. I know you're going to give this to somebody, so there's no charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never even told him that I was going to give it to somebody. He went and found that on his own. So then I leave, like, that house, and I'm just like, wait a second, Lord. You have got to be kidding me. Like, you provided the money to buy the bike, and I'm like, praise God, we got the money to buy Joe and his kid a bike. But then when I get to go get the bike, you give me the bike for free.
Mm-hmm.
So now the money that was given towards a donation, we're going to use to buy parts to rehab more bikes. And I was just like, that's amazing. You know, just what the Lord is doing. And then another quick story, which is kind of a personal, more personal story that I shared with you, was that somebody came to get their bike fixed on Tuesday. And they, you know, they drop by and they say, hey, I need to get a couple of tubes for my bike. And I said, okay. And they said, by the way, I've got this donation bike. And there was this junior high girl who was messaged me, and she said, hey, my mom sees on the internet where you're offering bikes, and I really need one, but she always misses getting the bike. It always is gone before, you know, that. So I'm reaching out to you. This is a little junior high girl. She goes, I'm reaching out to you myself to ask you for a bike. And I was like, man, I love this tenacity. Now, there are sometimes, Mark, I just have to admit, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And so, you know, I see the name, and I say, okay, you know, I write it. I got a little whiteboard in my garage where I make my little tick marks. And so I write down her name. And so this guy comes to get this bike fixed. He needs a couple tubes. And he says, and I got this bike here to donate. So he takes it off, and I look, and I go, man, that bike is, like, perfect for a girl who's about 5'2", 5'4", that girl who messaged me. So I send her a message. She says, well, I can't come today, but I can come on Wednesday around 3:30. I said, okay, that's cool. And so, you know, on Wednesday, my daughter comes home from school. It's the last day of school, and she comes home from school, and she's upset. And I said, what's wrong, Molly? And she says, you know, Dan, I'm just really sad. One of my really good friends is moving away. She's moving to Fisher, which isn't really too far, but I won't be able to see her every day like when she lived in Muhammad. And I'm just kind of really sad. And today was the last day of school, and we spent some time walking around on the park over there by the school when they had some, they had like an outdoor field day type thing. And so we walked around, and we were just both kind of sad because we really like being around each other. And so I'm like, oh, honey, you know, you just got to kind of focus on trying to make time to get together with her. I know it's a little farther away, but your mom and I will help you do that and all that. But she's just sad. I mean, she's crying, and she's really sad. And so I wanted to lift her spirits, and I needed some help in the garage. So I brought her out in the garage, and I was like, she's helping me clean the garage, and I'm joking with her, and I'm trying to get her to smile, and it's not really working because I'm not really that good at it. I don't understand tween girls that well.
Yeah.
But at one point, my wife said, what time are we leaving? Because we're going to go out and get dinner with the kids because it was the last day of school. And I said, well, we're waiting for this girl to come get this bike. And I said, Molly, do you know this girl? And she goes, what's her name? I said, Gauze, G-A-U-Z-E. That's her last name. And my daughter goes, Dad, stop it. And I go, stop what? She goes, stop it. I go, I'm just asking you if you know who this girl is. And she goes, Dad, you know who that is. That's my friend who's moving to Fisher. Why are you teasing me? And I said, honey, I'm not teasing you. I didn't know that was her last name. She'll be here in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, wait, what? What do you mean? you mean I'm going to get to see her again? And I was like, yeah. Like, I didn't even know that. And so, like, this guy brings this bike to donate. It's the perfect bike. I reach out to her. She's going to come and get the bike. I'm emotional as I'm talking about it. She's going to come and get the bike. And not only is the Lord using me to give her a bike, but the Lord's using the whole situation to minister to my daughter who's hurting.
Right. She gets to see her
friend. And there's some people who would hear this and they would say, yeah, that all sounds like happenstance. That all sounds like da-da-da-da. I don't see it that way. I see it as the Lord saying, you know what? I'm going to use the foolish things to confound the wise. I'm going to use bikes to provide not only a way to get around, but as a way to comfort one of my children when she's hurting.
Yeah. And I think your example, Jason, is God's taking an interest that you've had, and you want people to be fit. So you love fixing their bikes. You want them biking, but it's because you want them fit and out and seeing God's handiwork and getting exercise. And so all great intents, and yet he's using a passion of yours to reach the neighborhood. And you've talked about some of these people haven't been to church before and, you know, are getting to have a conversation with you and seeing how you're testifying to how God has made provision for this. And so I'm thinking there might be other listeners right now that have other interests or hobbies or activities. Like Kathleen Jennings teaches art. And so we've asked mm-hmm. Kathleen, can you take Esther on as a little project to teach her some of your gifts? So there's probably some retired people that can do some services or have abilities that they might take your idea and say, you know, I could start sewing for people, or I could start doing this kind of light repair or doing this kind of thing. And I just think God's using you and can use this concept of using your gifts. What was that passage you referenced as we close out?
1 Peter 4:10 says that we're supposed to use the gifts that God has given us to serve his people. But I would say even further than that, when Jesus talked about faith and Jesus talked about the way faith would change things in mm-hmm. the world, mm-hmm. he told stories. And he said the kingdom of God is like a father and a son. A kingdom is like a landowner. A kingdom of God is like a king. The kingdom of God is like a person who fixes bikes. The kingdom of God is like a person who teaches art. The kingdom of God is somebody who is like a person who can bake really great cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who's listening right now has some sort of gift.
Yeah.
And you can use that gift in a way that can change the temperature of the place where you live by releasing that. And listen, you don't have to. Everybody who comes up my driveway, I don't share the gospel with. You know what I do though? I do tell all of them 1 Peter 4:10.
Hmm.
When they say, well, why are you doing what you're doing? I love bikes. I'm passionate about bikes. I believe that God gifted me to be able to fix bikes. And I just want to use that to serve you and to serve my community. And I'm willing to give of my time that I have that's off, but I don't really think as a follower of Jesus we have off time. I think Jesus is like, no, you're always on the clock. You're working for me. And so I think that that's good. And why do I want to do that? You mentioned exercise and all that, but I also want to do that, Mark, because I think that it's just good for us to get outside. One of the life-saving things for me last year during COVID was I would go on an hour and a half or two-hour bike ride from Mahama to Farmer City every day. And I would spend a bunch of the day sitting in my house listening to how horrible the world is and how everything's going to fall apart. And then I would go for this bike ride, and I would go, no, it's not. Look at how beautiful these farmers' fields are. Look at those barns. Look at the sun setting. Look at the clouds. The world is not falling apart. And I think that sometimes we need to get away from all those other voices. And when we do, we realize that things are actually better than we think they are. And so for me, I find that prevalent when I ride a bike. And so I want other people to hopefully experience the same thing.
Yeah, getting out into God's handiwork, and your perspective can change in an instant when you see his creation. Oh,
yeah, totally.
Well,
and we get his perspective.
Amen. All right. Well, you know, we'll get back to James next week, and we'll start in chapter 4, verse 11. But until now and then, be praying up how God may use your skill sets, your gifts, your abilities, you know, your interests, your hobbies to bless others. And as you were talking, and I mentioned Kathleen Jennings, I thought, gosh, wouldn't that be great to get an art teacher to host something on a Thursday night or something at the center, or get somebody that's gifted in exercise to share some fitness tips or tools or techniques, or get somebody that has skills in math to teach or, you know, mentor others. And, oh, I don't know, there's a lot of possibilities. I'm getting excited thinking about them, but... You know, thank you, God, for your word as a springboard into these kind of discussions. And thank you, God, that you, Jason, you know, are using something that enthuses you and yet blesses others. And like you said, I think we all have that capacity, those capabilities. We just have to surrender them to the Lord and see where he'll use us. So, woo-hoo! All right. I should have given a phone number or something. Maybe we'll get you some more bikes.
No. I'm trying to figure out how I do what I do right now. I got way too much.
Well, you know what what might happen is maybe there'll be somebody that'll be an assistant that could come in and help.
Well, so that's the aspect that we didn't discuss, is that's actually happening. I've got three teenagers who next week are going to come and help me on Tuesday or Saturdays. And then there was a guy who's a Champaign fire. He's worked on the Champaign Fire Department for 20 years. He's in his late 40s. He stopped by last Saturday. He just pulled over on the side of the street and came up and he's like, hey, what do you do? Because on Saturdays, if it's nice out, I put the bike stand outside and I do it all in the driveway.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing here? You working on your bike? Or, I mean, but it can't be, because look, there's like 20 bikes here. And I'm like, no, I do da-da-da-da. You know, I explained it all to him. And he's like, man, he's like, I've always wanted to learn how to work on bikes. He's like, you know, would you mind if I came over? And like, so I thought like, oh, that's just a thing. I gave him my number. He sent me a text message. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to pray. You know, I don't know. And then he stopped over again the other day on Tuesday. He comes walking by with his girlfriend and he's like, hey, he's like, I just realized when I stopped by that day, you didn't even know who I was. Like, I could be a serial killer. He's like, I didn't give you any. So he's like, I got a sheet of paper here with four phone numbers. You can call references to make sure that I'm like a safe person. He's like, I'm a firefighter, so I know like that, you know, that can be concerning. So, and it was really cool that he's like, I'm like, so you're a firefighter. Where are you a firefighter at? He's like, oh, Champaign County. I'm like, huh. I'm like, do you know one of the coaches for track and field? He goes, oh, Carol Whitehouse. He goes, yeah, he's like on my team. And I said, really? I said, that's my daughter's pole vaulting coach for track. Huh. He's like, yeah, I've worked with Carol for 15 years. So then the next time I saw Carol, I said, hey, do you know Matt? He goes, Matt, he's a great guy.
Huh.
Ah. So now I got people who are coming to help me.
Yeah. No, gosh, I'm even thinking this could be something that some firefighters could do, where they bring them by the station. You know, those guys are sometimes like 2 days on or 1 day off, or who knows how God may use it.
I don't know. That's why I'm holding it real loose. I'm just saying, God, just do whatever you want to do. But then I'm kind of concerned because he keeps doing more.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, Lord, I've got work to do.
Yeah, I know.
Legitimate, like, church work to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're doing it on your days off. But, yeah, suddenly it could turn into, like I said, maybe a new ministry. So, all right,
yeah,
thanks, man.
Know. We'll see.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.